Blog Talk Radio.
After years of character development forged in the refining fires of life, a talk show host emerges onto the stage unlike any other. Speaking with a voice of thunder, with wit and wisdom gushing forth like a sparkling spring in a dry, desolate land. His practical insight and resolve gives him a passport to the hearts and minds of an audience desperately seeking truth and integrity. Arriving on the scene just in time to save humanity, here he is, a vitamin pill with legs. This is the Tony Venuti Show. And here's your host, Tony Venuti!
Hey, you know, folks. I'm back. Hey, he's back alive. Hey, happy birthday out there. Happy birthday out there to all my Facebook friends. Alicia, Luke, happy birthday. Hey, Bill Walker, Christopher Haney, happy birthday. And Dina Vandersloot. Vandersloot, I like that. Gosh, girl, you're 49 years old. You're a beauty. Hey, happy birthday, and Janice Schreiner, Matthew Briggs, Nancy Bernard. Happy birthday. You're listening to the Ex-Conservative Radio Hour, the Tony Venuti Show, where each and every day it's the culture, stupid, not the economy. Hey, the economy's, you know, talk about politics all being local. You know, all politics is local. Well, all economies are personal. Now, I'm telling you, I'm your eyewitness. I'm your free stream of consciousness. Free, there's a double entendre there. Free to you, free to me. I'm just throwing it out there. If you've been born after 1975, if you're not at least 45, 50 years old, and even if you are, you need to listen. You need to listen to me because you all been had, folks. You all been had watching the pop culture just trample over our traditional culture. You know, my mother brought me up with a reasonable expectation of what behavior I would encounter as boys became older boys and then, you know, adults matured and the like. But I grew up with a certain reasonable expectation on what I could anticipate into behavior that I would encounter on the street. Without having to lock my back door, without having to walk down a dark street and say to myself, is this really safe? It's counter to the many things that I was brought up that was reasonable to expect. And this has all been part of the culture. So what good's making a lot of money when you can't walk down your neighborhood street? What good's making a lot of money when you live in a gated community? What good is making a lot of money when you feel a false sense of security? What good is all of that? I've been watching, and I'm here to sort of throw it out there, parcel it out, share some things with you that's happening in the political zone that I know is all part of the big manipulative picture, the very large manipulative picture. You see, I'm the child's eye that can relate this. I don't think there's too many of me out there that was, you know, the funny thing about Rush Limbaugh, he also was born 1950. I was born 1950, but Rush, he's limited. No, Rush is cool. Don't get me wrong. He's a downright god, man. Hey, he thinks he is too, but I think that's also shtick, you know. But boy, I tell you what, I do think, you know, you always want to try to strive to have people's higher order rise a little bit. And show a little bit and demonstrate a little bit of humility. And I don't think any of the talkers demonstrate humility whatsoever. I love it when they try to make like they do, even when they say they're the best in the world and 99.7% correct. All like, I understand, Stick. I can accept it. But the point is, he's also controlled to a degree. To a very minor degree, I mean large degree, and you know what, if you don't think Rush is an artist, an artiste, at threading the line with where the control is, where he cannot go. You don't hear him talk day in and day out of the Communist Manifesto. You don't hear him talk day in and day out of the media being the prime responsibility of having Joe McCarthy not succeed in rooting communists out of the White House, because here they are now, aren't they? And now we're getting Colonel West getting beat up over it, and I just love it. Oh, you know, watching liberals is such a joke, man, isn't it? Oh, you know what I'm curious about? You know what I'd like to see? I think I'd like to see just a sitcom. I'd like to see a an improv, you know, a comedy improvisational group that just pokes fun at all the stupidity the liberals do, because I've been watching this having grown up with those trust fund babies outside of Brockton, Massachusetts, Boston, Massachusetts, a town called Brockton, Mass. Shoe City, capital of the world, a true blue-collar city. Haven't yet been feeling the cancer that the inner cities were feeling in closer to Boston, like towns like Roxbury and Dorchester. But 50 or 60 years later, yeah, Brockton's all but a shadow of the greatness that she was, but it's still Brockton, Mass., and I've got a heart and soul for her, for sure. But it wasn't the day when I grew up where you could never even think about locking your door. You wouldn't worry about walking down the street at night. You had a reasonable sensibility of what you could expect in terms of behavior. I mean, so much of behavior now based upon manners, respect, and the like has to almost be regulated, doesn't it? When we start having to regulate our behavior via laws, you know we've sunk. You know, at one point, wasn't just the Ten Commandments enough? And I'm not a Christian. I'm a natural law kind of guy that's brought up a Roman Catholic. I don't reject it whatsoever. I do believe in God. I believe God is energy, love. Oh, yeah. I believe it's also violent. I believe it's primal, man. I believe it's physics. I believe it's those. What is it? It's X's and O's or one's and O's? Whatever. You know, it's all digitized. It's just what it is, isn't it? I mean, to me, God is truth, God is knowledge, God is. But here, in response to the country that we love so much, is the exceptionalism to which is the only place the world has ever evolved to where it gave but for the grace of God, the grace of something greater than ourselves, the right. If we were born with the world owing us a living? No, we were born making us the boss. We were born making us the boss. Forget the world owes you a living. No, it made you the boss of you. That's conservatism. That's our exceptionalism. When's that going to be articulated like that? Huh? It's really just plain math. Doesn't it make sense to you anyway? You're listening to Tony Vinuti, folks, of the Ex-Conservative Radio Hour, waxing on the culture from Tucson, Arizona, where each and every day it's the culture, stupid, playing the music of the 60s that sort of celebrated liberalism, made it sexy, made it okay. It's a bit of a tragedy, you know? I'll be right back.
The Eastern world, it is exploding, violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating, but you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Don't you understand what I'm trying to say? Can't you feel the fears I'm feeling today? If the button is pushed, there's no running away. There'll be no one to save with the world in a grave. Take a look around you, boy. It's bound to scare you, boy. And you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction.
Now my blood's so mad, feels like coagulating. I'm sitting here just contemplating. A cat with the truth, it knows no regulation. Handful of senators don't pass legislation, and marches alone can't bring integration. When human respect is disintegrating, this whole crazy world is just too frustrating. And you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Think of all the hate there is in Red China, then take a look around to Selma, Alabama. You may leave here for 4 days in space, but when you return, it's the same old place. The pounding of the drums, the pride and disgrace. You can bury your dead, but don't leave a trace. Hate your next door neighbor, but don't forget to take race. And tell me over and over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. No, no, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction.
Not torturing you, Roy, again. Look, I don't want to get into too deep in the weeds here, but this is very simple, Michelle. And it seems to me that on every measure, the president fails. And on every account, those that are deeply, almost hypnotically entranced by Obama, they go back to some excuse. There's always an excuse.
Well, yeah, and one of the main talking points they use is the one that Tamara just invoked, which is that average people, ordinary people, just don't understand. And this is the same sort of condo
that
you get.
That's not what I said, Michelle.
Average people just don't really understand the story.
Really, the average person isn't so excited about Mitt Romney. The average person knows that they're actually coming back to work, they're getting jobs, their foreclosure rates are down. There are certain things that people are seeing. The person next door, nobody understands what they are. Michelle finish. That's a good idea.
Okay. The thing that has changed phenomenally between 2008 and 2012 is that we don't have to rely on Barack and Michelle Obama and their Alinskyite storytellers in the mainstream media and all of their operatives to set the tone and the storyline for this election. That is what underscores all of the victories that we've seen over the last 4 years on the right. Conservatives online are not accepting these fables that have been shoved down our throat. The idea that Obama has brought us out of the light when he's plunged us deeper into the sinkhole of debt, that somehow Obama has opened up Washington, D.C. to make it as transparent and open as possible when they've done all of these deals and subverted the rule of law behind closed doors, that somehow Obama is more likable than any Republican, and that somehow he is a nice guy. I hate hearing this from Mitt Romney. He's got to get this talking point out of his mouth. Barack Obama is not a nice guy. He has dealt brutally with the right, with people like Paul Ryan and brave Republicans who have been calling him to the carpet on all of the disgusting culture of corruption that has reigned. And that is the darkness that we have to get out of in November.
Let me ask Tamara one question. Put the Bin Laden issue aside, because I think it was a gutsy decision, but I think he needed to support the intelligence gathering methods that got us there. But here's my question to you. Cite to me one area of success and the economy where we're better off than we were 4 years ago before we go.
Unemployment?
No, unemployment.
Unemployment
higher.
Foreclosure rates are down. No, wait a minute. I don't understand why you have me on the show, and you don't have to like what I say, but you want, you're fine with the show, and everybody's talking about the conservative flowery talking point, and you don't want me to finish my position.
You can get emotional as you want.
Sean.
Unemployment was 7.8%, now it's 8.2 or 3%. It's not gone down, it's gone up, and the number of, he's not created a single net plus job since he's been president.
Right, and are you also going to go on that wonderful Romney fact that all the women who lost, or all the people who lost jobs,
that's all
women, that fact that actually came out to be totally false?
And that's according to,
no,
that's according to Obama's Journal of Labor Statistics. Yeah, no,
the guy is borderline brain dead and makes things up as
right.
he goes along. He has no idea what he's doing, and he's not going to
cite
a figure.
I got to go,
line.
But you can't cite one success. You're wrong on both counts, but I got to go.
Okay.
Go ahead, what is it, quick?
No, I have nothing to say. You have to cut me off again. So, go on.
What is the one success that he's had?
I told you, unemployment
wrong.
Is down.
Thank you. Wrong
yes.
again. It doesn't matter if you
it's
say
it's the
twice.
Sound of crickets chirping. Chirp.
I like that. Oh, gosh. You know, Michelle Melkin might be coming out as the Andrew Breitbart replacement. What do you think? Do you think that might be the case? Oh, gosh. It's just outrageous. This is Tony Venuti back with your ex-conservative radio. I just got to tell you, the whole idea about Obama being a nice guy, you know, Romney talking about, well, Obama might be a nice guy. Stop all that. I've been saying that from the very beginning. Why are we all so afraid to say what it is? You know, it's the same mentality that Romney demonstrates. Allows for the likability quotient to be skewed for we're afraid not to like Obama, aren't we? The likability quotient, hey, do you, oh, I don't want to be seen as saying I don't like Obama. I don't want to be seen as a racist. Wait till it hits the time to vote in the booth. Wait until it's time to go into that little voting booth where they're all to themselves, like as in private. All you white people who all be ridiculed for not liking him because he's black. I don't know if you're going to vote for him because he's black. Not in private. This has been the white man's legacy since the 50s. Shh, we don't talk about the black people being bad. You know, they were once slaves and we did it to them. I watch all you Caucasians bite on this. All you cocaine. I'm just telling you, I told you, I'm stepping out of this thing. I've been watching all nice white people bite on this for too long, all this guilt thing. It's time to wake up, you know? Thanks, Michelle. Gosh. I've got queued up here something we should be listening to. As you know, I'm a DJ of thought. I'm a DJ of mind in motion. I bring to you a free stream of consciousness from the 50s, but I also bring you people that know what they're talking about, and we need to hear what they're saying. This is Mark from yesterday's show.
And we're going to start again promoting the support of so many wonderful volunteer shelters. As you know, we've been doing it a long time on this program. Promoting the support of so many wonderful volunteer shelters. As you know, we've been doing it a long time on this program, since before I wrote Rescuing Sprite. But all I will say is, what kind of an idiot eats dog? I don't care how old you are. And frankly, what kind of a genius puts a cage on the top of the car with a dog in it? Oh, they like the breeze. Anybody who's ever done that, raise your hand. Exactly. Okay, case closed. Well, folks, I feel that from time to time I have to be the conscience of conservatism here, not because I'm special, not because I'm sharper than the next guy, because I'm willing to say certain things that some consider controversial or what have you. I'm willing to look at the Republican Party, I think, in ways that many are not. There's a freshman senator from Wisconsin. He's a terrific senator. Ron Johnson. Never served in public office before. Entrepreneur. Self-made man. He's been on this program a few times when he was running and since. He's a serious constitutionalist. He's a serious capitalist. And outside of Wisconsin, many of you probably haven't heard much about him. Well, the Senate Republican leader, Mitch McConnell, doesn't much care for him. And the reason is, Ron Johnson is not in the Senate to join the club. And he's announced this. He told them when he first got there, I'm not part of this club. I'm not here to do these things. So he dared to run against Mitch McConnell's choice for the number three slot in the Republican leadership, Roy Blunt of Missouri. Roy Blunt is a moderate Republican from Missouri, served a similar position in the House of Representatives, wanted to move higher, was defeated, decided to run for the Senate, and won. But Roy Blunt is not a Tea Party conservative. He's sort of a go-along, get-along Republican, as are so many of them who pretend to be conservative. And this is what frustrates so many of us. Am I right? So Ron Johnson decided to challenge Roy Blunt, who was Mitch McConnell's hand-picked number three Republican for the leadership. And Ron Johnson almost beat him. Ron Johnson, a freshman, got 22 votes. There's a reason I'm telling you this. Stick with me, because there's an effort underway to disenfranchise you, to undermine you, and just stick with me. Now, if I were, in many respects, a typical host, I wouldn't even talk about this with you. But when there's this drama and intrigue going on in the Senate, we only have so many opportunities and so many ways to change this government, ladies and gentlemen. Electing new senators is one of them. Then you need to know about it. You need to know about it. So now through leaks to newspapers on the Hill, including The Hill and Roll Call and others, Ron Johnson is now being attacked by the Republican leadership and their staff. There was a story out the other day about how Ron Johnson can't keep staff. And they're leaking other things about the guy. Because they want to keep him down. They want to keep him under control. There's a couple other freshman senators up there who've talked to me off the air, and they've experienced similar treatment from McConnell and others. Now, they tell us they want a majority, these Republican leaders. They tell us they're going to stand for something. And the first thing they do is try to make these conservatives who we send as impotent and as irrelevant as possible, pushing them to the back of the bench. I told you what happened in the House with John Boehner. John Boehner immediately got his hands on, figuratively speaking, I think, the 80 or so new freshmen who were elected in 2010, including dozens of Tea Party candidates, because he wanted to indoctrinate them as quickly as possible so they wouldn't be as independent as you and I would hope. And he got to many of them. And it worked on many of them. Go along, get along, committee assignments. Certain bills are voted on, certain bills are not voted on.
Office assignments. To usurp something, huh? Do you feel like government's being usurped are the very people that are charged to protect us and protect the Constitution and all that good stuff? Usurp, the definition, to seize and hold as office, place, or powers, in possession by force or without right, a throne. To make or to take a use of without right, to take the place or body as if by force, must not let the stock responses based on inherited prejudice usurp careful judgment. To seize or exercise authority or possession wrongfully, usurp. I feel like that's what's been going on. A lot of usurping, huh? Here's Mark.
This is how they fought a conservative revolution, a Reagan revolution in the Congress of the United States. I want to give you another example. Dick Lugar. I don't care that Dick Lugar has been in the Senate 36 years. What I care about is he's not a conservative and he's increasingly liberal. He's disconnected from the conservative voting base of his great state of Indiana. He didn't even have a home there. He doesn't have a home there. He hasn't had a home there in 3 decades. It was originally ruled that he and his wife couldn't vote in Indiana because he didn't have a residence. And then some panel overruled it with some bogus argument. He's the senator from McLean, Virginia. And he runs back to Indiana and talks about how much he cares about the farmers and the, and on and on and on. Well, now, they don't want to lose Lugar to a terrific conservative, Murdoch, who's been on this program several times and whom I've endorsed, and many conservative groups and conservatives have endorsed him. Murdoch would be a terrific senator to join the other handful of conservatives where we're trying to build a conservative party, not just a big government Republican party. So according to the quasi-news source called Politico, but this is accurate, I've heard this in other places, Mitch Daniel, the governor of Indiana, touted by the establishment, by George Will, by you name it, we need Mitch Daniels, they kept saying. Mitch Daniels and John McCain. John McCain, who brought us Barack Obama, are coming to Senator Dick Lugar's rescue. Politico has learned the Indiana governor and the Arizona senator have cut ads on Lugar's behalf that are likely to air in the closing weeks of his neck-and-neck Republican primary contest. While the details of the commercials are unclear, two GOP sources confirm that the two political heavyweights are featured in TV and radio spots encouraging the election of Lugar to a seventh term. I can sit here and talk about dogs, and not in a good way, but I want to talk about these dogs, these political dogs, because this will affect your future. 100 senators, they all get a vote on these laws that affect you, whether they're from your state or not. So John McCain, in many ways, has been a lousy senator. Too many ways. And Mitch Daniels, who was a top staffer to Lugar before he won electable office, are teaming up, the Republican establishment, teaming up behind one of the most liberal Republicans in the Senate, Richard Lugar, who Barack Obama said was his favorite Republican senator, to defeat a Reaganite conservative who's trying to challenge Lugar and help bring this country back. A source with knowledge of their participation cautioned that no final decision has been made to run the commercials. But the pair of high-profile surrogates would make a powerful closing argument for Lugar, whose polling lead in the May 8 primary has evaporated in recent months. McCain, the 2008 GOP presidential nominee who carries immense credibility on foreign affairs. By the way, how's that? All he does is push for these phony revolutions all over the world that bring us more and more terrorist regimes. He pushed in Egypt. Now we look what we have. He pushed in Lebanon. You know what they're doing in Libya? You know what they're doing in Libya? They're desecrating the graves of American soldiers who fought in World War II in North Africa. Oh, you don't hear much about that, do you? Because these are our new friends.
You know, this business about the desecration of the celebratory antics of these Marines or soldiers from these suicide bombers, and we're being condemned now, you know. We're being condemned internationally. Even our own country is condemning the soldiers for their behavior. When I was in Vietnam, we used to take pictures of arms and legs of the enemy. It's what us stupid kids did. You don't have a clue what's over there, those who are critical. Where's the logic anyway? These are suicide bombers that were out to kill us using their body. Their body was nothing to them except to kill other Americans. It wasn't even the fact that their body was nothing to them. It was, in fact, an instrument of our death. Their body was an instrument of our death. So why are we taking a picture of it in a perverse, dark, celebratory? Why would we apologize for that? You know, this is the kind of stuff that makes you really wonder. I mean, not. I mean, if you got the military not digging on this, if the military is acting political and meek, oh, what a shame. Huh? Listen to Mark before he goes on his break.
Credibility on foreign affairs could buttress the argument that Lugar's breadth of experience is invaluable as ranking member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. How so? How so? Richard Murdoch. He's the ranking conservative, ladies and gentlemen. The two-term state treasurer sits dead even with the incumbent. And then, of course, there's Mitch Daniels. Oh, he's terrific. Oh, the conservative governor. Oh, well, pushing Lugar. Folks, the Republican establishment is on the move against you. They're fighting Ted Cruz in Texas. Oh, yeah, they're fighting Murdoch in Indiana. And there are other states we're going to focus on down the road here, too. They're trying to defeat our candidate. And if we don't have more conservatives in the Senate, you're going to have more Republican big government that you saw under George Bush, with all due respect. And you're going to be very disappointed. The Republican Party will go the way of the Whig Party eventually. But what worries me even more is, where's the country going to go? We don't need Dick Lugar anymore. We need an active, vibrant, confident, serious, consistent conservative. And if we can't get that at the presidential level, we must get it at the congressional level. I told you the others won't talk about this. I'll be right back.
And folks, you've been listening to the Ex-Conservative Radio Hour as we share with the audience Mark Levin, the words of wisdom. I tell you, there's a conservative talk can be pretty, how shall I say, similar experience. Because we're all talking about the same kind of science that truth notwithstanding. Conservatism is simply that, truth. But the ones I like the most are, Limbaugh, of course, Levin, Savage, Mark Levin, Michael Savage. I listen to some of Michael Medved and Hugh Hewitt. And there's really a host of others that, man, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of talent out there. There's a lot of talent out there, but Mark Levin, they're all grandiose in there. They all have these outrageous egos. I wish I just collected a little bit and show some humility, but I guess that goes with the territory. I'll accept it. You know, I'm not going to let perfection be the enemy of good. I like these guys. I like all of them, even the ones I don't mention, even the ones I think I can do as good or better than. Hey, give me a producer. You think I could pick up a little bit here with a producer here and a producer there? But when I woke up this morning and I heard more, you know, because what did it start yesterday with the business about the U.S. soldiers? It's crazy. We're just going down the pits, aren't we? Doesn't matter, huh? Doesn't seemingly matter to too many people. Well, folks, this is Tony Venuti with your ex-conservative radio, and I'll be right back.
Just mad about saffron. Oh, saffron's mad about me. I'm just mad about saffron. She's just mad about me. They call me Mellow Yellow, quite rightly. They call me Mellow Yellow, quite rightly. They call me Mellow Yellow. About 14, 14's mad about me. I'm just mad about 14. She's just mad about me. They call me Mellow Yellow. They call me Mellow Yellow. Quite rightly. They call me Mellow Yellow. A wind of a loss of
children to learn that if you screw up, you're not supposed to really get away with it. I mean, you want to. You, the individual, want to get away with it, but you don't want to show your children that you can get away with it. Don't, I mean, isn't there some kind of duality, not hypocrisy? It's cool to be a conservative. I'm here to tell you how to do it. I am your human laboratory of experience, of understanding of the 50s, of the pop culture, of the tough love environment that I grew up in, as opposed to the enabled, privileged love that my trust fund babies' neighbors had. Trust fund neighbors, I should as well. I grew up with a lot of trust fund kids. How should I say that? Grew up on the right side of town, but on the wrong side of the street, with that low-income housing was just starting to come in place by the very policies that those liberals who lived across the street put in place. Be careful what you ask for. You just might get it. Hey, KJ, nice to see you, pal. Welcome to Tony Venuti's show, the ex-conservative radio hour, where we've been playing a little Mark Levin, and I'm going to get back to him. A little note on this notion about this these Afghan soldiers celebrating body parts. Well, why not, man? Suicide bombers looking to use their body as a weapon, and they didn't get me, but instead here I am hanging up his abdomen turned inside out. What do I care? Oh, we're supposed to be better than that? Oh, really? You see, this hyper-civilization has just got the best of me sometimes. What are we, nuts? Are we just turned into a bunch of sissies? It seems like it to me. We've got Michelle Malkin out there basically saying, you know, Romney, will you still stop already with this Obama is a nice guy? I don't think he's a nice guy at all. Not even close. You know, that mentality, that trick bag that Romney demonstrates when he does that. Well, you know, Obama's really not a bad guy, and he's just over his head. He's really not a bad guy. He's just over his head. Well, you know what? That demonstrates the way Romney acts, demonstrates the way the likability quotient to be skewed. For we're all seemingly not afraid to be, we're afraid to be not liking Obama. You hear this likability quotient being higher than would you vote for him. So you wouldn't vote for him, but you like him. Well, here's the difference. Here's the difference. Let's see how much they like him when they're in the voting booth. Huh? All you Caucasians out there, all you white people will all be ridiculed but not liking him when you ask. So you say, oh, yeah, I like him, sure. I like him. You know, this has been the white man's legacy since the 50s. I, as your Italian, who refuses to accept the plight of being white. God, I'll tell you what, I've gone through 50 years of discrimination, of race discrimination, of sex discrimination, and of age discrimination. All three of them, across the board. Anybody resembling a white man, any male to begin with, by definition, it's all about the women these days. Hey, women this and women that. Oh, women, let's be a girl. And if you want to turn into a girl, then that's even better because you're going to have to be a liberal to be a girl. Even if it's just to be a, you know, a girly man, a homosexual, I still got to be liberal. I mean, let's just grab all these exceptions to the rule in. You know the white man's legacy since the 50s. Shh, we don't talk about black people being bad. You know, they were once slaves, and we did it to them. So we owe a certain deference. Howie Hambleton says, one of my friends on Facebook, he says, the reactive trend in America of what the hell we were thinking is way long overdue. Paola De Silva says, and they want you to feel white guilt and social injustice. Here's what I'm to say to those who won't work. You have enslaved yourselves to poverty. Don't blame me. I've been working 40-plus years, and I'm a mother full-time. Good for you, girl. Robin Gray says, let Malcolm take the heat and be the bad guy. Keep the norm from taking the hits. Thanks, Michelle. At any rate,
Let's go back to Mark, shall we? This is Mark Levin from yesterday's show.
Touted as this great breaking conservative, but in fact he's a Lugar Republican who's done some good conservative things. But he's loyal to Lugar because Lugar gave him his start. He was a staffer on Capitol Hill for years and years and years. He worked in the Reagan administration for about 20, 22 months. How do you know, Mark? Because I was there. And by the way, it's not to put the guy down. It's to tell you what his motivation is. As I said, 36 years in and of itself is not what concerns me. But what are we getting from Dick Lugar? Dick Lugar votes for these liberal judges and justice nominees. Obama adores the guy. Oh, we have a bipartisan foreign policy. With a bipartisan foreign policy, and the foreign policy is crazy. John McCain has yet to be held accountable politically for pushing these revolutions, quote-unquote, but they really are coups, replacing one dastardly regime with a radicalized Islamo-fundamentalist regime. Man's never held to account for these views, so he's going to cut ads for Lugar. I asked the people in Indiana, you want more of that? I don't think so. It's time for some of these younger, smarter, tougher, solid, confident, conservative.
And that's a little bit more, Mark. This is Tony Venuti, folks, with your ex-conservative radio from Tucson, Arizona, sharing some of the threads. You know anger, right? You know anger. If you want to anger a conservative, what do? You tell him a lie. But how do you make a liberal angry? You tell him the truth, don't you? All the angry liberals. It doesn't take a shrink to figure out what they're driven by. It's resentment. That's right. Resentment and contentment. I call it contempt. Resentment, I use the word contempt because it's all about first starting with the family, contempt for your parents. It was an unintended consequence of well-intended parents that fell into the myth of each and subsequent generation deserves to live a better life than the generation before them. It fell into the myth of keeping up with the Joneses. It fell into the myth of being a consumer instead of a citizen. And the upshot of that was, guess what? Guess who loses? The family loses. The children lose. Because all of a sudden, mommy and daddy have new priorities. The priority is not inside the house, but the priority is outside the house. Oh, I know, we can make it right in our heads. We can dance around the problem. We can sort of like work outside the home. We can have a nanny. We can have a babysitter. And we can tell our kids we love them all until we're blue in the face. And we'll even give you a gift that we got from earning so much money and from the vacations that we had to take. Oh, away with you kids. No, you can't go on the work. These are working vacations. I'm sorry. Shouldn't use the word vacation, but I'm learning how to be liberal. Hang on a second. I grew up with it. I saw it myself firsthand. Firsthand, I saw how kids, and they'd be confused. And then the music came, the 60s came and left. Oh, you got to understand something. There's been a dark thread of diabolical mind conditioning going on for well over 100 years, and it's called liberalism. It's called liberalism. They had a little Bible to follow, called the Communist Manifesto. This Communist Manifesto was put together by this guy called Karl Marx. He was born like early in the 1800s. He was but 30 years old when he wrote his college paper. And this is in fact how to throw over a government built upon capitalism, because capitalism, in his eyes, he saw it as what it is, a performance-generated paradigm where the strong survive and the meek, oh well. Isn't life tough? So, that's my understanding of all of this, sir. I share some insight and kill a little bit of time, huh? Do you want to kill time? Is that what you want to do? You know, this whole black-white paradigm. Sharon Strickland says, what's funny is how many Americans think that the white man was first to take slaves, when in fact it was the black man who first enslaved other blacks. The Muslims enslaved them next, then the white man followed. Wouldn't it be nice if black people studied their history and realized the truth? Well, with liberalism and truth, it's sort of like oil and vinegar, you know? Yeah, I know. Well, what if they heard it from somebody they liked? You see, that's another thing about liberals. It isn't... See, this isn't... Yeah, I can hear you. Give me capitalism or give me death. Welcome to the ex-conservative radio. Oh, man, I was in Vietnam. I took body parts next to me, and I remember some gross pictures we had. We couldn't get enough of those pictures. Well, I don't know where they disappeared to. I didn't keep track of my stuff. What do you expect these people to do that are trying to kill them anyway? Huh? What do you expect? I went on my first advertising call today, having finally gotten back to work. Of course, it's back to work on a commission-only basis. But hey, you know what? Conservatism, we're a performance-based paradigm, isn't it? So I'm selling advertising on grocery carts. And I went out and did my first presentation today. I didn't sell it. I'd like to sell it the first stop, but it might be a second time by. The guy was pretty good. He liked it. It was a sushi restaurant. This position needs to work for me. I need to make some money. But more importantly, I need to keep my flexibility so I can continue to do the show in some semblance of a program. It's my mission. I'm on a mission. I really am. You know, I juxtapose my history so to sort of almost have it act as a resume for letting you know that, you know what, you really have to have had larceny in your hat. You really have to have lived evil to understand evil. And plus, I thought it'd be a shtick. I thought it'd be a great idea. Little did I know, though, and my naivete was the fact that the liberals control the distribution system of content. And the final analysis, if you don't fit their narrative, they're not going to help you along for your cause. Because in their eyes, you're just poison to them. You know, I mean, I work to live. I really don't. I think these people lie to live. To bring us into a communist state of mind, to bring us into a liberal state of mind, to where their success, you know, they talk about NBC, the pundits talk about NBC and all these stations, how they don't care about all the money they're losing. And the fact is, they really don't care about the money they're losing. To them, it's a cost. It's a cost factor to get to where they need to be ideologically in the country. That's all they are. They're a tool. They're being plenty supported, trust me, in all kinds of obscene kind of ways. That's what I know. That's what I know. Folks, you've been listening to Tony Venuti with your ex-conservative radio. I'll be right back.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel.
And
sun in the sky.
About
you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by. You know how I feel. It's a new dawn. It's a new day. It's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on
on a tree. You know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean. Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world, and a bold world for me. Of the pine, you know how I feel. Oh, freedom is mine, and I know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new dawn.
Has a nice little feel to it, doesn't it? Nice little vibe there. That's Michael Bublé, Feeling Good, one of the few more contemporary songs that I play. That's only a mere 5 years old. Not music from way back when. Music from way back when. Yeah, I would never listen to music from way back when as my mother was growing up and her big band sound. No way, man. Thank God we walked in the birth of rock and roll. We were at the right place in the right time. At any rate, folks, I think what I'm going to do right now is share with you some more of Mark Levin, and he's going to be talking about something that I'll make some comments on.
This whole idea of a middle class and these classes and people being assigned to them comes straight from Marx and Engels. That's why I reject it. I know we get comfortable in these terms. Oh, we're middle class. And I'm just in the middle class. No, you're not just in the middle class. You're an American citizen. You're an individual with value. And if you look at yourself as quote-unquote just in the middle class or just in the lower class, you're going to limit yourself psychologically. And the politicians do this to you. Like I explained the other day, this word Hispanic was invented by Richard Nixon. It was invented for the 1970 census because he and his advisors decided they needed to create, quote unquote, an ethnic group, a minority group, to counter black Americans. So they created the term Hispanic. But before that, if you were from Argentina, you were a person from Argentina, an American, or a person from Peru, but an American, or a person from Cuba, but an American, and so forth. We should not allow the government to categorize us this way because it puts limitations on us. The great thing about the Declaration of Independence, the great thing about the Constitution, the great thing about capitalism is they don't put limits on you. I mean, if you want to commit crimes or overthrow the country, they do, but that's not my point.
You know, labels have always been used as a way in which to communicate. And too oftentimes they're used to communicate generalizations in the abstract. And very often they're made to be able to persuade you. Persuasive writing is the most difficult of all writing, is to sway some people's minds. A lot of people can write, but not everybody can write persuasively. A lot of people can talk, but very few can sell. I'm one of those, at any rate.
On you, in your life, they don't put limits on you. Well, I'm stuck in this class. You're not stuck in any class. There is no class. Getting back to Barack Obama, the way he talks, the way he thinks is antithetical to what this nation is. I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. Who cares? To his credit, he made something of himself. Now his children have been born with silver spoons in their mouth because he has a net worth, according to one website, of $10.5 million. So there. And I assume he wants to keep most of his new assets. And I assume he wants to take care of his kids with them, send them to the best private schools and so forth. So why put down somebody else? Why not just give us your grand ideas, your magnificent vision for the future of the country? We don't care if you were born with a silver spoon in your mouth or not. Or Michelle, for that matter. Because it's not about you and how you were born. In wealth or not in wealth. It's how you govern today. It's how you govern today. This class warfare stuff, folks, is poison. It's poison to any society. Because it is intended to manipulate the thought process. It is intended to get your juices flowing, your emotional juices, jealousy and anger. It is intended to persuade you to vote for people who will use the power of government in abusive and coercive ways. Born with a silver spoon in your mouth. And Obama's children were born with silver spoons in their mouths now. And private schools, and all the rest of it. And when they get older, will somebody say to them, I'm not like you because I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth? They should be denounced, because that's not true.
Now, isn't that just the way it should be? Well, when you have a silver spoon in your mouth, well, let's even go back to Obama, man. How did he make it to Harvard? Did he work his way through Harvard? You may not have had a silver spoon, but come on, man. You didn't work your way through there. And now that you've given birth and you have a family and you have a child, she certainly was born with a silver spoon in her mouth. Hell, she's the president's daughter. How are you going to feel after me? Oh, that's great, Mark. That is really good, man. More of them.
America. Anybody is free to pursue whatever they wish within the law. As long as it's moral. But you know what I mean. Obama, it would seem, wants to deny to others what he will not deny to himself. He wants to deny to the children of others what he will not deny his own children. He wants to amass riches, but he doesn't want you to amass wealth. He doesn't mind private school for his own children, but he minds it for your children. He doesn't mind eating whatever he wants to eat, but he minds what you eat. He doesn't mind taking that 747, one frivolous trip after another, one self-serving fundraiser after another, but he minds what you drive and how much fuel you use. And we can go on and on. That's the nature of an imperial president. That's the nature of a society in which the president views himself as the sovereign, and his wife views him as taking us out of the dark, bringing us into the light, like Jesus, if you will. While the rest of us are here to serve. Second-class citizens, got to get skin in the game. These attacks on Romney and his wealth are attacks on you. I know you're not worth $200 million. That's not my point. There are attacks on your ability to succeed, to prosper, and more importantly, the same for your children. Is Obama jealous of Romney? Is that what it is? Is Obama jealous that he was incapable of earning the kind of money, of creating the kind of wealth, of creating the kind of prosperity and jobs and businesses that Romney did? Is that the problem? I'll be right back.
Mark, hello. Folks, you've been listening to Mark Levin. This is Tony Venuti with your ex-conservative Radio R. And so much of what Obama is doing has little to do with politics as much as it has to do with the ideology. It's almost like who we are as people. Transformation, fundamental transformation, right? Wow. Anyway, so what I want to show you here is, Colonel West has recently come into the stream of consciousness because of his remarks regarding communism. He's gotten some negative feedback from that. And I want to play with you something here that I've got, if I can find it. Of course, I had it just a second ago. But, don't tell me I can't find it. Come on, baby, you can do it. Hang on with me. Okay, here we go.
Yeah. Romney isn't driving up your life. Romney isn't driving down the value of your home. Romney hasn't kept the borders up.
Just so communist. Do you have any regrets about that?
No, I don't regret it whatsoever. And I think that if you would have had the time to study the political spectrum of ideologies, you would understand that at the turn of the century, many of the communists renamed themselves as progressives. Instead of Woodrow Wilson administration, people referred to the Woodrow Wilson administration as the progressive administration. Now, what I would hope that people would do in media is you should do a little research and start looking at what the political ideologies and what they stand for. There's a very thin line between communism, progressivism, Marxism, socialism, or even as Mark Levin has said, statism. It's about actualizing production. It's about creating and expanding a welfare state. It's about this idea of social and economic justice, and you hear that being played out, now with fairness, fair share, economic equality, share, sacrifice, ad infinitum. And it's also about creation of a secular state. And this whole argument that the liberal left is trying to take you down, talking about religious contraception, is really about the federal government that is reclassifying religious organizations for them to be able to manipulate them however they wish. So that's what most people would focus on. Now, let me also bring something up. So I've been up here the first time ever in politics the past 15 months. We've had members of the Democratic Party stand up and talk about how Republicans want to kill women. We've been called racists. We've been called sexists. We've been called homophobes and islamophobes. We've heard people constantly talking about the Tea Party right-wing extremists of the Republican Party. But I don't see anyone, getting upset and challenging the other side about this. And I welcome anyone to have a discussion and a debate about political ideology. Because when you look at what is happening in this country right now, you tell me that this government is not nationalized production. Automobile industry, financial sector, healthcare, cap and trade did not go through the legislative process. Look what they're doing through the EPA as far as the energy sector. Look at what's happening with the National Labor Relations Board. Who would have ever thought that we'd live in the United States of America where the federal government would be telling a private sector organization where they could relocate? And you look at some of the bills that have come out of the Congressional Progressive Caucus. These are individuals that voted against having a balanced budget amendment, but yet they wanted to have a constitutional amendment so they could redistribute wealth. I don't know if that's in keeping in your version of a constitutional republic, but when I went through my studies, it surely was not. So I stand by what I'm saying, and it's very interesting that people on the left are not debating the point that I made. They just don't like the fact that it was made.
Chad,
I just went down the line and gave you examples of legislation. I just went down the line. out for any expanded welfare state? Look at Inauguration Day, how many people were on food stamps? Look at Inauguration Day, how many people were in poverty? Look at where we are today. Well, because we don't have to do it all. Okay. And it was for the Civil March. We had 33 million people on food stamps. On Inauguration Day, we got 32 million. That's a 45% increase. Commitment to poverty on Inauguration Day, 39.8. Today, on every choice, I lost 36.2. That's a 6.4 million increase. That's what we're calling it, our brand new expanding the welfare state. So, folks, do your research.
Talking to the media directly like that. Oh, baby, hey, Colonel West. You know, I was listening to Paul Ryan earlier this morning on Fox, and you don't hear these guys go, you just don't hear it because they speak right from the heart, man. They speak right to what it is. They're not worried about ooh, ah. They'll deal with it if they misspeak. These are pretty sharp characters that are speaking the truth. They're not having to formulate something so they create the impression of truth, to have that perception, that illusion of reality come forth as to be more true than the truth that actually exists. No. But, you know, whoopee. Okay, whoopee. We have fun with that, right? It was really good fun, right? Well, you know, we're going to be entertaining ourselves to the gas chambers. We're going to be entertaining ourselves to the gas chambers. I want my country back. Well, I'll tell you what, until you stop talking about it and start doing something, including Tony, as you all know, I want to pick at the media so bad I can taste it. I can taste it. I want just 10 people. At every media outlet all at once, and it can be done automatically with the first group of 10. Exponential growth, 10 times, 10 times, 10 times, 10 times, 10 times, 10. A million people across, divided by 10. Take a million people divided by 10. That's a whole lot of coverage. I mean, wouldn't you rather have 10 people at a media station with a little bit of a nuisance sign? Wouldn't 10 people at every media station with a nuisance sign be a lot better than 1 million people at one place? Because, first of all, that's not going to happen. And all politics is local. Pick your own TV station and start hammering home the idea of their lies of omission, of the fact that we're hip to them. We're hip to the media's complicitness to the Communist Manifesto. That we're hip to it as early as 50s with McCarthy, okay? And you need to be researching this behind the Venona papers so that with the power of certainty, you can, as I am now giving you this truth, that Joe McCarthy had it right 100% and he lost. The media whipped him. The same media that in the 70s when they took Nixon down, we always thought that by definition we could trust the media against the government. No, man, the media is the government. The government is the media. It's been the mediocrity since the 50s. I've been seeing it right from square one. I witnessed the Big Bang of this. I've witnessed the Big Bang. I always thought it was cool to live in 19, to be born in 1950, right dead center in the century. Hell, what did I know about politics then? Nothing. But boy, I was surely imposed upon by the culture taking control of my life. I wish I was black. No, I don't. I don't really. But boy, it would be nice to have, just because I'm black, some extra give-me's, you know, make my life a little bit easier. Now I'm having to look for work, do work, and I'm facing sex discrimination because over 50 years it's men versus boys. Yeah, forget men, especially if they're white or even, don't call me white, I'm Italian, I know, but they'll push me in there with that white stuff. Gosh. Age discrimination, don't trust anybody over 30. What does this all feed? Who benefits when you have a culture that is suggesting don't trust anybody over 30, what does that suggest to you? That the powers that be are out for the best interests of mankind? Or does it sound like there's a little manipulation going on of the diabolical nature? I don't think there's a question about it. What got me to where I finally started talking was that as years gone by, I was continually able to have more insight than what these pundits and news people supposedly were feeding people. Well, I later learned that it was indeed just that. We were getting fed. To this day, we're getting fed. We're getting spoon-fed. Boom, boom, boom. I don't have that song. I don't have it, though. Spoon, boom. Instead, I'll do something like, I'll do something kinky.
Set me free, little girl. All you gotta do is set me free, little girl. You know you can do it if you try. All you gotta do is set me free, free, free. Set me free, little girl. All you gotta do is set me free.
With your ex-conservative radio from Tucson, Arizona, where each and every day it's the culture, stupid. Come on, all politics are local. All economies are personal. When you've got money in your pocket, nothing else matters. When your bills are paid, nothing else matters. Oh, I imagine if you're close to the bone, if you're week to week, even if it's in a higher station of life, but if you're still week to week. So I know what that's like, having run a business, spending $20,000 to $25,000 a week, being hand to mouth. We still was able to enjoy the writing of the checks, and we're always able to pull a dollar or two from each check we wrote, wasn't it? Well, that's how it is living up there in the upper echelon, even though if you all cashed out, you know. When you're right down to the nitty-gritty and you're going up to the gas pump and you're putting in 1 gallon of gas or 2 gallons or 5 gallons or 10 gallons at a time because you can't afford $50 to $100 to fill up your tank, $50 to $100, what is it, $75 to $100 now? Gosh, the last, I can still remember, I can still feel the taste of a $25 fill-up, you know? I can still feel the taste. It wasn't that long ago that my DNA senses a $20, $30 fill-up. $35, $40. Oh, getting nervous, aren't we? $45, we're getting real nervous. We haven't seen anything yet. Because it's the purpose of those that are in charge coming from the left as to make us all independent of anything to do with roads being built, roads being maintained, cars on the road. No, you see, it's always been the left that understands urbanization. urbanization, sustainability. Man, when you hear that word sustainability coming out of the mouth of a Democrat, you run the other way. You listen real close, though. Hey, Bob, nice to see you. I'm getting more beautiful by the day. You won't admit it, but I truly am. So I'm doing work now. I'm trying to pull this thing together with the supermarket carts. I'm selling advertising on supermarket carts. These are what you, in selling, is what is traditionally a one-stop sale. They have you closed pretty hard. It's not cheap. You know, you're getting $2,500 out of a merchant. Anywhere from $1,500 to $2,500. You're going to make a lot of calls, make the appointments, go out there, show them the benefits and so forth. But I'm too much of a nice guy. I can sell it only when people need it, desire it, and can afford it, and it's a good enough product that there's not too much competition out there, you know? I try to find a niche market. I said my net worth today is about an eighth tank of gas. That's my net worth. Imagine that. Gosh. For 20 years, man. Publishing Arizona Tourist News. Of course, I dealt with crony politics. I couldn't get the bureaucrats to work with me with Arizona Tourist News. They didn't want any part of me. I've got emails where they said, oh, we don't work with him. You see, it's been this discrimination all through it all. In tourism, it's mostly females that are working. Talk about a good old boy network. The people that are working in the advertising agencies, the major newspapers, and the tourism bureaus, all sort of dance around the industry. They all sort of, oh, I worked at this agency, and then 5 years ago I worked with the tourism bureau, and before that I was part of the newspaper. And it's almost like marrying up. You know? It's almost like marrying up. It's all about the good old boy, the good old girl network. Oh, you got a good old girl network now, growing. You know, this war on women's stuff, this false paradigm of women only are, you know, like this, like women are supposed to be equal to men, really? Come on, gals. You got to have the flexibility of having children. You got the flexibility of maternity leave. You got the flexibility and the lack of expectation upon you that men have. Men, when they come to a job, have a higher level of expectation. They're not going to forgive you when a man has a hot flash. They're not going to forgive you when you need to go out and have a baby. I mean, it's unheard of. You wouldn't see that, but that's the point. So I think by definition, it makes for the idea that numbers being equal a little bit skewed in the thought that that's pure sensibility. It isn't. It takes away all logic. Whoop says, I don't like paying taxes for roads. They take people's farms, eminent domain, all in the name of building new roads. Well, that's something you can't quite control, and that's something that's called life. And you know, you can not pay taxes and find 1,000 excuses, I imagine. Matter of fact, now I actually did a little string on Facebook suggesting, is the only thing besides my idea of picketing the media, you know, my power of 10, outside of that, is the only option really is to withhold taxes, because it's really gotten that bad, hasn't it, with the GSA, with the Secret Service, with the whole culture. I mean, if this isn't close to Marie Antoinette needing to have her head chopped off, huh? Let them eat cake. What is this? I'm watching history repeat itself, having just arrived from the fall of the Roman Empire. Oh, yeah. No, I told you. I've been around. Oh, yeah. Come on, I know it. Many of you don't. You don't want to seem to talk about it, think about it. Want to rewrite history all the time. Take away Columbus Day, broke my little heart. Nino, the Pinto, the Santa Maria. Come on, man. There's only two kinds of people in this world. Italian and those that want to be Italian. I am a racist. I am a racist. You see, there's only two kinds of people in this world. Yeah. Talking out of the corner of my mouth. I think it's natural to be a racist. I just do. I just think it's natural law to be a racist. Everybody likes who they are.
Whoop says, I've told you a million times over and over again, it's the French Revolution all over again. Absolutely. It really is. And it really just speaks to natural law repeating itself. And that which you don't repeat, you're doomed to repeat, right? That which you don't learn from, you're doomed to repeat, correct? Because that's just human nature. We prove this to ourselves all the time, but you know what it is with people? It won't happen to me. It won't happen to my generation. It won't happen while I'm alive. Think about that human, seemingly fallacy of the idea that it won't happen to me. You know, that's a necessary thing. Phillips goes, I'd rather be called a racist than a comrade. Hey, comrade. No kidding. Well, no, see, racist is natural, man. By definition, we all are attracted to our kind. I know opposites attract, but we know the deal there. That's the way there's a dichotomy in thought, okay? You got to take it in the context. But when you're talking about the animal kingdom, when you're talking about kings and queens, when you're talking about royalty, we have this sense of being more comfortable with those who we are familiar with. Familiar, coming from the word family. I'm familiar with you. I am family with you. That's all racism is. That's really all racism is. It's an appreciation. Hey, when I was a kid, I used to look for all the Hollywood stars. I would look for all the athletes. I would look for them to have a name that ended in an A-E-I-O-U. And I'd confirm with my mother, hey, Mom, that's Italian, right? And we have a lot of valid reasons to be proud of being Italian. Why would I want to be downgraded to white? You see? Now, this business with bigotry is another question. Hey, beer, nice to see you, man. How's your tummy? You getting a beer tummy? Beer hunter. I'm going to hunt for a six-pack. Kimosabi. You ever try to break those six-pack rings? You know, the plastic rings, you fold them up and you break them. My brother, I could never do it. My brother, that snap. You got to do it quick. You got to do it. It's not just strength, it's fast. You got to do it fast. Because if you get it to where it's stretching, then it absorbs all your energy to just make it snap. But I didn't have it in me. He couldn't pitch, I could. He could rip apart a six-pack string, I couldn't, all right. I remember I'd be standing on my hands talking about my younger brother, Johnny. He died of a drug overdose in 1973 at the age of 21. I remember I'd be standing on my hands, and he says, what's that proof? I said, well, can you stand on your hands? He could have been a liberal, huh? Oh, what's that proof? Yes, let me just that I can do it. Just that I can do it. No, we have tendencies. I think all children have tendencies to grow up liberal. You know, we don't want to be held accountable. We don't want to be responsible. We don't like being ridiculed when it's, you know, ridicule isn't bad if it's proper, right? I mean, come on. If you do something wrong, you want to be corrected, don't you? Come on, if you see me with a little speck on my mouth because I didn't wipe my face, I don't want you looking at that ugly speck where you say, hey, you got something right here? Yeah. If my collar isn't up or if I put my tie on and the thing is up in the back, don't be afraid to tell me. Don't project your meekness onto me. I can take it. I might even thank you. I'll be insulted if you don't. Oh, but I'm so concerned with your feelings. I know, baby. Me too. We're all so warm and fuzzy these days. I just want to cuddle with you. You're my friend. I'm talking to you. Everything's nice, yeah. Mm-hmm. God, and you know, just seeing this wuss stuff make me puke. I feel like I need to take a bunch of people and slap them up the side of the head. Slap, 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 you know? But then who would be first? You got about 100 on your list. You'd be arguing with yourself on who would be first. But I'm just rambling on. a new friend to the show, somebody I may be working with in the form of advertising, called me and he said, I heard the last 45 minutes of your show. He said, boy, you were all over the place. What were you really talking about anyway? I said, nothing. I said, I'm just a free stream of consciousness from the 50s that you just squeeze it. And out comes the juices, and they articulate in an interesting kind of way, if I say so for myself. Just ask me. Hey, publish or perish. Give me a break. If I wait for somebody else to speak up on my behalf, there'd be silence, you know? There'd be dead silence. Everything comes to he who waits. Just don't wait too late. Is that the way that thing goes? Well, I'm not going to wait. I'll just do it on behalf of myself. I'd rather be wrong moving forward. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you rather be wrong moving forward than right standing still? Huh? What good is that? What good is being right if all you're doing is treading water? Give me a little risk, baby. Give me a little risk. Well, if you're really making this conversation lively, he says, I'm eating my pizza right now from Pizza Hut. And we got a pizza conversation. Hey, what kind of toppings you got? Boy, we really got a lot of conversation going on here, don't we, gang? I'm telling you, birds of a feather, man, we're all cool. It's all good. Maybe I'm just jealous because now that I think about it, I'm hungry. I'm going to have to get me something to eat after this show. I wouldn't have been hungry had I known about a pizza. See, that's what advertising's like. That's what the media's like. They put the idea of a supplement suggestion. They train us on how to behave. Yeah, I do. They want to utilize us when the time is there. When the time is there to rise up and to cause havoc, well, I'll be too meek. Cowardly. Cowards. I don't know. I don't know if I need to be a dead hero. But I don't know if I'd want to be an alive coward. You know? Give me liberty or give me death. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, let's just make it quick. to live in despair day in and day out, isn't that like a torture? Isn't that like a psychological torture to live in despair? It's despair that liberals project onto their clan. Onto their victims that they celebrate as victims, that you must have despair. Oh, we feel your despair. Oh, we know your despair. Oh, despair away. I feel your pain, and it's from this pain that we're going to seek to help you by all those mean people out there who have performed a little better than you, who have made better life choices than you, who worked a little harder than you. Yeah, we're going to take from them, and that despair is just going to help us get the power. Well, I mean, it's going to help us fix you guys up. Yeah, forget our power. I'm not really meaning that. Walt's getting heady with me here. He's saying, Tony, a dead hero or a live coward? Wouldn't that really depend on what you have to live for? That's exactly right. That's a big bing 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 bing. You know, that's why when you have nothing to lose, you see people who live in despair, they have nothing to lose. They have nothing to lose. So they'll go out and they'll shoot up the neighborhood and their friends behind something as simple or as aggravating as a thumbnail cut. And they'll go off. Because, see, ultimately, why does anybody do anything? First, they have to be able to. They can. Okay? They can. But people that were brought up with a certain amount of breeding and responsibility and moral imperative have this thing called should get in our way. You know, this conscious element, this consciousness, right? Of right and wrong, of knowing right and wrong. But when you have no sense of shame, when you could care less about right and wrong, and you do anything you want because you can, and you're full of despair, you'll do just about anything because, just like Bob says, you'll have nothing to lose. KJK says, life's nothing more than wreckage upon wreckage, and that's called life. It's, you know, it's bumping cars. I'm going to tell you a story. Wolf just hit me. He got me good. He's just saying, hey, I got to tell you, Wolf, you hit it now. He says, I've had Tonya Roberts, Jacqueline Smith, or Farrah Fawcett to come home to. I'd be a serious coward. And this is what I used to do all the time. And I used to get my heart rate up, and it used to make me nervous. But I would fantasize, and you know, you're talking about Tonya Roberts, Jacqueline Smith. I was thinking of, like, Ursula Andress, Sophia Loren. There's, you know, those stars in the 50s and the 60s, okay? And I used to say to myself, if I had three or four of them in front of me, and I did this, if I hadn't done this exercise hundreds of times, as a kid, hundreds of times. As a kid, I hadn't done it once. That's why this is remarkable, Bob, that you bring that up. But I'd actually go through the process of looking at them and then having to decide, and I couldn't decide. So I'd get all kinds of, I'd get all nervous and flustered. And then, as KJ said, reality sits in, and I realize that it's just an exercise. Relax, Tony. It may have lasted only, what, 3 or 4 seconds. You know, this notion of having three or four of the cutest babes, and if you could select which one, and you said to yourself, oh, I don't want to select, I want a little bit of a ball. Oh, Ann Margaret, don't hit me with that one. That hurts. Oh, man, deadly. You know, women can make a grown man cry. I was in the adult entertainment business for a while, and I've always been a player with women, and I just did, you know. So, I mean, I've been some pretty interesting kinds of places in that way. But we used to watch regular straight men, you know, not from the streets or certainly not Italian, just regular Johns, man, bankers, engineers, doctors. And I'd watch these beautiful gals that didn't have too much of a brain at all, but they were foxy, you know. They were dumb like a fox. They were street smart. They were clever. Take a man of the highest repute and turn him into a little wimp. Wrap him right around his little finger, you know. And I always said, you know, gals, if you had a half of a brain, you'd control the world. But you let your heart take over too many times. I mean, men, we deal with that, you know, under the belt thing, you know, that other kind of intelligence. But it's short-lived because as soon as we get it, then all of a sudden we're indifferent to the one that gave it to us. Meanwhile, the one that gave it to us had all the power until she gave it up, and then her heart's sinking, and all of a sudden it's, I love you. Man, emotions, the death of all of us. Whoop says, brainless dame Goldie Hawn. I don't know how brainless she was, man. You know, I think to me, a woman's greatest intelligence is her ability to understand, to allow a man to be in charge. I would always say to a woman, I say, you know, I'll always be the gentleman. And I'll always let you maintain control. But, baby, I'm in charge, okay? If you don't like it, you can leave. That's your control. But I'm in charge. Boy, there's a lot of stories I could tell. There's so many. I mean, it's like, just look what's on TV. These tabloids, they just want to promote all that stuff, don't they? They just want to tell all the stories that you yourself would not want to live through. But then if you don't want to see other people do it, oh, we want to see their failures. We want to see We want to see people succumb to temptation. We want to see how that actualized. We want to be voyeurs. At least that's what the media is telling us. They're creating a market demand by putting out in front of us as if there's nothing else to see, and then they'll tell you that, oh, you're just giving us what we all like to see. Oh, I see. Because we don't tune the TV off, or we're not calling into the station. You're assuming that we just like to see it. Well, stop your imposition of all of that crap, will you? We report so you decide. No, you don't. You impose, we reject or accept. And just like people when they've got a money-back guarantee for something, how many people actually take advantage of that money-back guarantee and send something back? No more is it going to be where they won't watch it. They'll tolerate. People will tolerate it until we become trained into accepting things that are lower than us. Pope says, we want dirty laundry! We really do. It's the lowest common denominator, baby. Beer Hunter saying, tabloid journalism. Journalism now makes the news. It makes the news. It creates the news. We're newsmakers. It's sort of like the groupie that wanted to be with the band. All of a sudden, they wanted to be the band. Not just with the band. They wanted to be the band. Hey, give me a tambourine. Give me anything to get on stage. I want to be with the band, man. I want to be the band. And then guess what? They want to own the band. Oh, yeah. They want to own the band. So they'll get in there and they'll do their little nefarious things. They'll have their little ways of creating a union. Not of two people either. I'm not talking about a marriage. No. I'll be right back.
Well, I think I'm going out of my head. Yes, I think I'm going out of my head over you. Can't think of anything but you. And I think I'm going out of my head, 'cause I can't explain the tears that I shed over you. I see you each morning, but you just walk past me, you don't even know that I exist. Going out of my head, over you. Out of my head, over you. Out of my head, day and night, night and day and night, all night. I must be so
right. You're back, folks. Tony Venuti with the Ex-Conservative Radio from Tucson, Arizona, where each and every day it's the culture stupid. A little bit more of Mark Levin on the Conservative Manifesto.
Hey.
San Diego, the great KFMB country, a Democrat. Go.
Hey, the you know, everybody's worried about the private property. You know, when the
do you have any private property?
Private property.
Do you have any private property?
Yeah, there's no such thing as private property.
Do you have a home?
Everybody keeps fighting over it.
All right, sir. So are you going to keep talking over me, or can we have a discussion?
Okay.
Do you have a home?
No.
Do you have a car?
I do.
Do you have clothing?
Yeah.
That's property. Private property. Does somebody have a right to take your car away from you? Does somebody have a right to take your clothing away from you?
If they sue you, they can.
If what?
If they sue you in a court of law, they can.
Sue you for what? What are you talking about?
Well,
let me put it to you this way. Do they have a right to take your clothing and your property for the sole purpose of diminishing your value and giving it to somebody else?
They do it all the time.
All right, my friend, you would do well in slave communities. You would do well in communities where liberty is non-existent, because you're what I call a drone. Do you understand?
No.
Do you understand what a drone is? A drone is somebody who doesn't even know what it's like in a free society, even though they live in one. A drone is somebody who's willing to surrender their liberty, and which includes their private property. Right? That's you.
It all the time. I mean, ever since 1933, the government has been bankrupt, and there's nothing...
Right, thanks for your call. You're not a Democrat. See, this can only work if people are honest. Let's try Al in New Jersey, a Democrat. Surprise, surprise. Yes, go right ahead.
You're doing right, Mark. How are you? I am a Democrat, so...
By the way, notice how funny all the Democrats are. Yes, go right ahead, Al.
Okay, the reason health care is being in existence is because that these people, us, want to control the general population. You control health care, you control the person. And that's the only way that we can get any results out of the people in the United States. Otherwise, you know, we could not do I don't want to say any words here. But that's the only way.
All right, thank you for your incoherence. Let's move on. This is part of it too, folks. I'm doing this because I'm always... Mark, give them a chance. Okay. Eric, Washington, D.C., the great WMAL, a Democrat. Going, by the way, I'm not looking for Democrats. I'm looking for leftists and liberals. But go ahead.
Mark, whenever I hear your show, which is often, all I hear you doing is you're very good at defending insurance companies and oil companies. Big business, but I never hear you actually.
Hey, Eric, I have an idea. Why don't you do what I ask, which is, why don't you tell me why your philosophy is such a wonderful philosophy?
What's that?
Why don't you tell me why your philosophy is such a wonderful... Let's get this guy. Do we have our clock ready? The 20-second liberal clock. Go.
I'm not saying that my philosophy is wonderful.
I said, tell me why your philosophy is so wonderful. Go.
I'm not. I'm saying this, but you're completely one-sided. You think it's...
Sir, no. Sir, what I defend is liberty and property rights, whether it's a big company or a small company, whether it's a proprietorship, whether it's an employee who works hard and saves his money and wants to purchase something, or whether it's an employer. Your problem, sir, is all you see are big insurance, big oil, big this, big that. You've been sucked into the whole argument. And let me tell you, there's an awful lot of little people that work for a lot of big companies. Some of them are in unions, some of them are not. So what is your beef, sir? We should destroy all these big companies? Is that it?
No, I'm not suggesting that at all.
Well, why do you despise them so?
Because, well, if you, Mark, do you know anybody who's been not...
Can you answer a question, sir? Have you yet answered any of my questions?
Let's try one.
Why do you despise the oil industry?
I despise the health care insurance because they refuse to think there are many people who they deny coverage to who supposedly have coverage.
As a matter of fact, sir, there are very few people they deny coverage to, and we passed a law in the early 1980s that anybody who walks into an emergency room, illegal or legal, an American citizen gets free health care. What is your gripe?
I'm not talking about the... I'm talking about people with regular illnesses who
I'm talking about people with regular... Sir, do you know what the hell insurance is?
Yes. When you buy car insurance, do you go in and say, hey, I just had an accident, I want insurance? Do you do that, sir?
Health insurance and car insurance are not...
Why don't you... No. Let's stick with my example. I'll educate you as we go on. When you go to buy automobile insurance, do you just total your car and go into State Farm and say, here I am, now I want insurance? Do you do that?
No, I don't.
No. And they're not stupid. They go broke taking care of people like you. And I'll explain why this is relevant in a moment. I want to address this point that we left with.
Mark.
Auto insurance is different than health insurance. Now, why do I use auto insurance? Because the left does all the time. There's not a single insurance company that would insure somebody after they have a major accident who went without insurance. Because they would go broke, because everybody would wait until they needed insurance to actually get it. Now, there's more on this point. We'll be right back.
You know, insurance is all about risk. That's all you're buying. And they're essentially gambling. They set it up the same way as gamblers do. They know how much they're going to end up paying out, and they're going to charge you a fee above and beyond that. You need to participate into the insurance pool so people can pull from when there is an accident. The best thing insurance can do is to be solvent when you have an accident. That's the most important thing to any insurance company, is that they're solvent at the time your accident comes up, which means they need a bunch of people feeding into the system, sort of like Social Security. They need more money coming in than what's going out. And those numbers have to be projected out from paradigms of past years that they can anticipate, and they set their rates accordingly. And then because there's a multitude of insurance companies that are able to compete on the free market forces end up putting the prices in. And then it's all about customers choosing this company over that one based upon price, service, and quality of product. You're listening to Tony Vinity, folks, with your ex-conservative radio from Tucson, Arizona, where each and every day it's the culture, stupid. I'll be right back. This is Sam Cook.
I hear something saying.
Sound of the men working on the chain gang. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. All day long they're saying, ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ooh, ah.
Well, don't you know
that the sound of the men working on the chain gang. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. All day long they work so hard till the sun is going down. Working on the highways and byways and wearing a frown. You hear them moaning their lives away, then you hear somebody say, that's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. Can't you hear them saying, I'm going home one of these days. I'm going home, see my woman, whom I love so dear. But meanwhile, I've got to work right here. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. All day long they're saying, my, 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 My work is so hard, give me water. I'm thirsty, my work is so hard, boy. Oh, my work is so hard.
Sam Cooke, the Chain Gang, music from the 60s, bringing you back the popularity that made liberalism. The anti-establishment, the counterculture, take charge, take control, to where truth to power no longer is spoken. Instead, we have to speak truth to tyranny, don't we, folks? Don't we have to speak truth to tyranny? Come on, let's start telling people that. We need to do that. From the Examiner. An open letter petition demands Eric Holder's arrest the new Black Panther Party leaders. On Tuesday, Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson, founder and president of the Brotherhood Organization of a New Dynasty, issued an open letter with a petition demanding Attorney General Eric Holder arrest the leaders of the new Black Panther Party. Noting that the new Black Panthers have put a $10,000 bounty on Zimmerman's life and have distributed flyers calling for his capture dead or alive. Peterson notes the bloodlust and inflammatory remarks by new Black Panther Party leader still rages. You know, what's it going to take? What would happen if somebody answered that call to action and actually went out and found Zimmerman and killed him? To include but not limited to inside the prison. How would we prove the direct correlation to the, the same way liberals prove to us when they blame everything on, you know. Department of Justice has recently been roundly criticized for being too lenient on the new Black Panther members in 2008. The department dismissed charges against one of their members and narrowed charges for another even after video surfaced showing new Black Panther thugs intimidating white voters with batons at the polling station in Philadelphia. The decision to dismiss has led to allegations that this Department of Justice under the Obama administration is willing or unwilling to prosecute blacks for civil rights violations and hate crimes against whites. See, I think we're all getting a little fed up on all this. It's all right for, you know, blacks to do upon whites, but when whites do it upon blacks, oh boy! And now that they're in power, now that you got the likes of Holder in power, I mean, it's essentially the end of a democracy, if you ask me, if we don't get Obama out of there, like, quick. But I don't know. I don't think he's going to relinquish power. You know, people are saying that the election might never happen, might never occur. No, I think it's going to occur, but it won't matter. It'll be a farce. And even if he loses, he won't relinquish. He will not relinquish power. I'm a firm believer in that, 100%. May we live in interesting times is the only thing I can say about all of this with any kind of positive slant. All right, it looks like I did it again. Brought you people to a sense of place and kept you here for a time being and wasted all of that time. How did we kill some time or what? Do we have a good time or what? Huh? Was this a party or what? I'm hoping you'll join me tomorrow. I don't know how long I'll be around for. I think I can't find revenues to pick up my fee for Blog Talk Radio. Can you imagine that? But I am working, so as soon as I make my first commission, and it's pretty good money that I can make. I just have to start making money, and it doesn't happen overnight. It takes about a week. My name is Tony Venuti, folks. Check me out on Facebook, okay? Facebook.com, Tony.Venuti. Have a great day. Ciao, I'm out of here. This ought to be a reality show, baby.